From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in to Vern's postgame show.
God, a home run! A three-run homer for Salvador Perez!
On your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan. Here's Royals insider Josh Fournier.
Well, that was a lot of fun. Let's talk about it. Big win, a comfortable win. Right, a win that's been in your back pocket for what feels like an hour and a half, 2 hours now. Fun night in Pittsburgh. Royals take the opener. 8-3, the final score. Phone lines are open for you. I want to hear from you. Let's talk about it on a beautiful Friday night, both in Kansas City and obviously in Pittsburgh. Royals jump out in front in a big way, a six-run second inning, and they never look back. Phone lines are open. Again, 913-586-7965 is the phone number. That's 913-586-7965. Well, you know where I'm at, as we now have only 14 games remaining in this season. You know where I'm at. My focus. A focus that has obviously changed over the course of these first 148 games, right? The first few months of the season, the focus was just maintain. I don't need you to win the division, just stay in it. Don't drown in the deep end. That was the focus, I would say, until the end of May, right? Maintain through May. That was the message. And then you had your feet up. You're enjoying the months of June and July, and my only focus then was stay in the race. Give us entertaining baseball in the month of August. Give us meaningful baseball in the month of September. Royals did that. Along the way, holding their own in a brutal gauntlet of first-place teams. And then recently, that 20-game stretch that I coined the Riptide, that was the focus, right? Just play your game. Maintain the standard that you've set over the course of these 20 games. Maintain the standard that you've set over the first 4 months. Maintain that standard and you'll be just fine. If you can maintain that standard, man, by the end of this Riptide, the postseason will be waiting. And here we are, a game removed from the Riptide and the postseason's waiting. 14 games to go. I know the ticket isn't officially punched, but you're holding that invite, and no one seems capable of taking it from you. Royals maintain that five-game cushion on that playoff invite. To guarantee a home playoff game, they're two games back of the Baltimore Orioles. And to guarantee a division title, they're three games back of Cleveland. But you know my focus, and that's what I want to hear from you. I'm interested in how you're listening to these final 14 games, how you're viewing these final 14 games, because my focus is health and confidence. I described it earlier today on the On Deck Show. The only thing, well, the two best things that you can have as you enter postseason baseball is health and confidence. Now, ideally, you have some outstanding pitchers, or else you wouldn't be in the postseason. So actually, I think that goes without being said. Yeah, the two best things you can have as you enter October baseball, in my opinion, is health and confidence. So that's my focus. Where are you at? 913-586-7965. As far as tonight's victory, the 8-3 Game 1 win for the boys in blue, the health factor in it is, well, everyone seemingly is coming out of this game healthy. Meanwhile, up in Omaha, Michael Lorenzen got his pitch count up near 60, threw 3 1/3 innings, striking out 4, walking a pair. Looks to me as he hit his pitch limit, what they were aiming for. So hopefully we see Michael Lorenzen coming up on the upcoming homestand that starts on Monday. So health-wise, good news. Confidence-wise, no doubt tonight is a big old thumbs up from what Alec Marsh showed us, showed his teammates, and most importantly, showed himself to what Daniel Lynch continues to prove to himself. Kyle Isbell, another big night out of the nine hole. And again, the confidence that comes with knowing that your captain is going to come through clutch, time in and time out. So my focuses of health and confidence, man, not only was this a clear win but between the white lines, an 8-3 Royals win, but of the things that I am focused on, the things that I believe matters most, yeah, it's another big win tonight for the boys in blue. Phone lines are open for you, 916-7965. That's 913-586-7965. We're going to start off out in Pleasant Hill. Uriah, you're hitting the leadoff on this Friday night. Go ahead.
I appreciate it. My focus is like, I try not to focus on the division, but it's kind of hard not to when you see the Guardians lose. Right. Yep. And us taking another game ahead there. I had a question, though. Do you think, obviously, Tommy Pham can't replace Pascantino, but, like, I mean, he's looking pretty sharp.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I have a lot to say about that. Uriah, thanks for putting it on a tee for me, buddy. I appreciate it. Thank you very much for listening as well. Listen, I understand that being your focus, the division. Honestly, it was my focus up until the aforementioned Vinny Pasquantino went down with an injury. But maybe it's shame on me. Maybe my focus should have never deviated from the Guardians in that division title. But you may remember when Vinny went down, yeah, my mantra changed. My focus changed. Yeah, it became on just hang on. Man, you've come so far. Don't allow this to derail you. I don't need you to look good down the stretch. I just wanted the team to hang on. I'm sure some of it was for selfish reasons. But I also wanted Bobby and Salvi to get that national spotlight. I wanted this rotation to get their flowers this season. So I wanted them to just hang on. And, you know, lo and behold, 2 weeks later, 2 weeks removed from that Vinny Pasquantino injury, and yeah, Uriah, the division is still very much up for grabs. Royals, again, three games back of Cleveland with 14 to play. Now, as far as Tommy Pham replacing Vinny Pasquantino, no, he single-handedly cannot do it, even though Pham has a hit in 8 of his 11 games since coming to Kansas City. He's hitting .304. He's driven in 7 runs. He's scored 6. He has an OPS of .825. Tommy Pham's been outstanding, and those numbers, yes, are right in line with what you were receiving from Vinny Pasquantino. Here's where I see Tommy Pham replacing Vinny. A quality first inning at bat. A quality at-bat from the top three hitter. Better said, a quality plate appearance from a top three hitter. Right? You lose that when Vinny goes down. Tommy brings that in the first inning, brings that 5 times a night just like Vinny did. Now, Yuli Gurriel brings a first baseman with clutch tendencies. Right, Vinny Pasquantino was one of the finest hitters with runners in scoring position in the game. Look at what Gurriel, Pham, and Grossman have combined to do. Those three, since coming to Kansas City, have 11 plate appearances with a runner in scoring position. They have 5 hits, a sac fly, and a walk. So they're hitting better than .500 with runners in scoring position. So put them all together, and yeah, they are replacing Vinny Pasquantino as much as they can. Now, the confidence that Vinny exudes, the confidence that he gives with his humor, his ability to keep things light, his ability to joke, his ability to keep it real with some of the guys that he's come up with. When you lose that, that's tough to replace. But the experience, the anecdotes, the encouragement that Grossman, Pham, and Gurriel bring to that clubhouse, man, that's not a bad way in hoping to replace the confidence lost in losing the bat of Vinny Pasquantino. So you put them all in there, right? Tommy's giving you a quality at bat in the top. Gurriel's clutch. Gurriel can play first. Robbie Grossman can hit from the left side. And then, of course, the experience that they bring. You know, those three together have an OPS of 753 in Royals uniforms. Grossman, Pham, and Gurriel have combined for a 753 OPS. That's about 45 points higher than league average. You never needed them to do it all, right? Someone else was going to be leaned upon, and that's still the case, right? Massey, Melendez, Michael, Isbell, Freddie. These guys are going to have their moments where they're needed, where they must come through if the team's going to win a big game. But until that big game arrives, not a bad thing that these veterans are holding it up. Are holding it down, yes, but are also building up the Masseys and Melendez, Michaels and Isbells. Izzy with a nice night tonight. Isbell, by the way, 5-for-12 on this road trip, hitting .273 across his last 30 games. Thanks for the phone call. Let's go to Phil and Shawnee. Phil, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
It was a great game tonight, and I think what we saw was the sublime and the absurd. The sublime being our fifth or sixth best pitcher ranked, struck out 11. Gurriel, Grossman, and Pham combined for 3 runs and 3 RBIs. They each had a run. The homecoming king, Adam Frazier, hit a home run late. And the absurd is Gurriel taking the ball at first base, then pitching it in the general direction of second base with first and third one out. And somehow Massey gets over there and catches it and sticks the landing. I mean, they are playing some ball. And Cleveland has 13 of 16 at home to end the season. They just lost their second in a row at home against Tampa Bay. The division is not out of the question. They have to finish against the Astros. So if we can get to within 2 or 1 within the last week, we got a shot at that.
Phil, I'm with you. Thanks for the phone call. Yeah, 3 back, 14 to play. Only 2 back of Baltimore if you want to guarantee a home playoff game, right? That wild card series that starts up Tuesday, October 1st. If the Royals can pass Baltimore, that wild card series will be in Kansas City on Tuesday, October 1st. Now, if they can pass Baltimore and pass Cleveland, or even tie Cleveland, well, then the Royals might end up not even participating in that wild card series coming up in just over 2 weeks. Yeah, they'll get a first round bye and await the winner of the wild card series. 14 to play, and like I said earlier today, the seating at the dance is to be determined, but the invite to the dance has basically already been received by this Royals ball club. 14 to play, a 5-game cushion protecting that invitation to October. Waka's healthy. Lugo's healthy. Singer's healthy. Reagans is healthy. You're not coughing that bad boy up. Look at what Reagans has done. Look at what Lugo and Waka, look at what they've done against the best of the best. Look at what Salvi's been doing against the best of the best. They're not going to allow that to slip away. So I'm with you, Phil. I'm with you, Uriah. Focus on the division if you want. I'm certainly not going to lead you any other way. Focus on the division so long as you won't find yourself disappointed if they fall short. I think that's fair to say. Now, you could be disappointed briefly, but an elongated disappointment better never befall you. Not in 2024. There's just no reason why any disappointment should surround your Royals fandom for longer than 12 hours. From here on out, barring injury, I don't believe disappointment is permitted. Right, am I off base on that? Let me know. 913-586-7965. That's the phone number. That's our text line number. 913-586-7965. Royals take the opener in Pittsburgh. 8-3, the final score. They put 6 runs on the board in the second inning. The 12th time this season we've seen the boys with a 6-plus run frame. Impressive stuff, and they turned this one into a laugher. My game notes are brought to you by Jays Southland Tow. Be in the know when called Jays Southland Tow. We'll take a quick time out. We'll get back to your phone calls and head inside that Royals clubhouse after this.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Burns Postgame Show on your new home for Royals baseball in Kansas City. 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app.
Ortiz works towards second. Now the pitch. Slider hit high in the air. Deep to left center field. Reynolds and Cruz converge onto the track. They look up. It's gone. Into the Royals bullpen. A two-run homer for Salvador Perez. And the Royals have a 6-0 lead in the top of the second inning. That was demolished.
434 feet off of the bat of Salvador Perez. 6-0 in that 6-run second inning. It was all Alec Marsh and the Royals bullpen would need. The boys win the opener in Pittsburgh. 8-3, the final score. 6 runs in the second inning. Yuli Gurriel with a RBI knock got things started as the Royals make sure that the Pirates and their starting pitcher Luis Ortiz pay for a bad walk to Robbie Grossman and then a bad decision on a bad throw to first on a little dribbler back to the mound off of the bat of Adam Frazier. Instead of setting his feet to make it a nice throw, he rushes it and overshoots his first baseman, and Grossman, who walked with one out, goes first to third. Adam Frazier finds himself on second. So a second and third and one out. Yeah, Yuli Gurriel falls behind in the count 0-2, battles back, and ropes a slider off the plate, ropes it into center field, putting the boys on the board 1-0. They would never look back. Kyle Isbell, a 10-pitch battle, sees him take a 95-mile-per-hour fastball below the knees and yank it down the right field line. That scored Adam Frazier, made it 2-0 Kansas City. Tommy Pham, he battles. He works a 8-pitch at-bat, and then he fights 96 running in on his hands. He fights it into center field, rolls it into center field. 2 runs come in to score. It's 4-0 Kansas City. And then, yeah, Salvi's 27th of the season, a 94-mile-per-hour fastball, middle, letter high. Yeah, demolished. 111 miles per hour off the bat. Career home run number 273 for Salvador Perez. He needs just 45 more home runs to stand alone as the Royals' all-time home run leader. Just 45 away from passing the great George Brett. All right, phone lines are open for you. 913-586-7965. That's our text line number as well, as I see the Rally Mantis on the text line congratulating Salvi on that big 2-run home run in the second inning. Salvi now with 102 RBIs. That's top 5 in Major League Baseball. Rally Mantis also guaranteeing that the Royals will win the American League Central. Again, the Royals are 3 games back of Cleveland in the division with 14 to play. All right, let's go to Golden, You're next up on 96.5 The Fan as the Royals get to 81 wins for the first time in 8 years. Golden, how you feeling?
Hey, Vern, how's it going?
Great, how are you?
I'm good. I just think everybody needs to chill out about winning the division. We're rolling. And I think the fact that the guys that we brought on, Tommy Pham and everybody, I think we're cruising. And what you were talking about, Perez, if anybody doesn't think he's a Hall of Fame player, they're crazy.
Agreed. Now, I'm with you on that, Golden. I appreciate the phone call. I think that was Gurriel. I think that's what you were going for. Yeah, Salvi tonight, 2-for-3 with a walk. He's hit safely in 5 straight games. And he's now hitting .343 with runners in scoring position. That's top 10 in Major League Baseball. After the game, let's hear what Alec Marsh had to say. Marsh picks up his 8th win of the season as he matches a career high with 11 strikeouts. And he must have 6 to 10 of the ugliest swings I've seen in weeks. Meaning, he must have elicited some of the ugliest swings I've seen in weeks. I mean, of those 11 punch-outs, 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 were on pitches in the dirt. 3 were looking, 4 on pitches in the dirt, and the other 4. Slider here. Some cheese right there. Blow 96 past that dude. Alec Marsh, outstanding. 5 1/3 innings of 1-run baseball. He gives up 5 hits, strikes out 11, and issues only 2 walks. Let's hear what he had to say after the game to the microphones of Bally Sports, Kansas City.
It's easy when we got Sal back there. Sal and Freddie both, but I haven't had Sal catch me in a while. It's kind of just game plan is just call what he's thrown and execute as many pitches as I can, and good results follow. So up to down was really good. I liked how I bounced back after that second inning. Having a long inning, boys swinging it, and got to make sure you come back out firing. So, didn't like that first walk there, but other than that, settled in and came back and delivered some good clean shutout innings after that.
It's a big inning, long inning for you to sit. I'm sure you'll take the big lead, though, but hard to kind of get adjusted after that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, especially because those big innings, like 6 runs like that, you got to prepare yourself for that because it doesn't happen too often. But when it does, you got to be able to get ready and go back out there and put up a 0. And was happy to get out of that one unscathed.
What led to the effectiveness of your slider and curveball tonight?
Yeah, I think just throwing the curveball when they're thinking slider. We have a tendency to get happy with my slider sweeper combo, and the curveball's good enough where I can get swing and miss on it, especially if I locate it down to lefties and righties. I think just kind of offsetting that a little bit and making the usages a little more even was better.
There you go. That's Alec Marsh. Again, 5 1/3 innings of 1-run baseball. He's now made 4 starts since returning to the rotation. In those 4 starts, he's given you 20 innings. All right, I'll take that. 5 innings and a chance to win. That's all any of us have asked of Alec Marsh since taking the rotation spot of Michael Lorenzen. He has 23 strikeouts in those 20 innings. And across the 4 starts, he has an impressive ERA of 3.6. Again, that audio courtesy of Bally Sports, Kansas City. Let's go to Oklahoma City, talk to our buddy Justin. You're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. Good to talk to you tonight, brother.
Nice to hear you.
Here on my porch, man. Nice night down here. And just got through watching the Royals, man. And, I was thinking about this, man. I was thinking about, the playoffs, with the wild card. And, it brings me up to Alec Marsh. And Alec Marsh, what a phenomenal night. 11 strikeouts. Probably, I think, most strikeouts this year he had in a game, I think.
Yes. Yep.
And I was thinking about, if you play a 3-game series, whoever it may be, and you fire out. Obviously, Seth Lugo's got to start one of those games. Yeah. You got to put Paul Reagans in one of those games. And I think, man, there's a third game. I don't know who it's going to be. I mean, would you fire Singer out there? Would you fire
What about Walker? March? I think Walker's earned it. He's been one of the 10 best pitchers. Yeah, he's been one of the 10 best pitchers in the American League.
I guess he'll probably start game one.
Now.
And then what, Lugo, game two?
Yeah, you know, it matters. Here's the thing, Justin. Thanks for the phone call. You know, the Royals are three games back of the division, two games back of Baltimore for a home playoff game. Now, if it comes down to those final two games, that Saturday, Sunday in Atlanta, let's just focus on the last one. Let's say Sunday you win, and if you win game one, and the wild card series starts at Kauffman Stadium, but if you lose, game one on Tuesdays in Baltimore, and the series happens at Camden Yards. How important is home field to you? How important is home field to the team? You know, what if the division title's on the line? A first-round bye is on the line. I think I might use Lugo in that spot. Right, I might use Lugo in game 162. I could use Cole Reagans in game 162. So, you know, 14 games, it's going to go in the blink of an eye. But here's what I'll say. Yes, Lugo and Reagans are going in the first two games. More, yeah, I'd bet on it. And then Waka, I think, is your next best option. And if you're playing in that three-game series that, again, starts up on the 1st of October, you likely only need 11 pitchers. Three starters, who we agree, Lugo, Waka, Reagans. So now we're talking eight relievers. Now, Bubich, Urseg, and Sam Long, to me, seem like locks, right? Okay, so that's six pitchers, which means we're down to five spots remaining. If you want another lefty, okay, Daniel Lynch could be that third lefty. Daniel Lynch, by the way, four up, four down tonight. Since returning to the big leagues, Daniel Lynch has pitched in six games. He's tossed nine scoreless innings, nine strikeouts, one walk. Opponents are hitting .103 against Daniel Lynch since returning. Okay, so if Lynch is in there, now we just have four spots remaining, and I would imagine you want them to be right-handers, right? Who other than Lucas Urseg do you want facing a big right-hander? Now, Aaron Judge, sixth inning. Who do you give the ball to if you can't go to Lugo, Reagans, Waka, or Urseg? Who's that right-hander that you want? Marsh? I'll tell you what. The swing and miss we saw tonight from Alec Marsh, you have to have that on the team. That must be in the bullpen. That stuff, I mean, that stuff that we saw tonight that allowed Alec Marsh to punch 11 tickets. Now, that's the second best stuff available right now in the Royals postseason bullpen. You know, then Michael Lorenzen, maybe a Brady Singer, and now we're down to the final spot in that bullpen. John Schreiber, James MacArthur, Carlos Hernandez. You know, personally, I like the swing and miss of MacArthur, but either way, that's the discussion. The final spot of the bullpen might come down to MacArthur, Schreiber, or Carlos Hernandez. So in my mind, it comes down to James MacArthur or John Schreiber. Listen, again, what we saw tonight from Alec Marsh would make him the second best reliever you have, including Bubich, including Sam Long. You know, only Lucas Urseg has what we saw tonight from Alec Marsh. 18 swings and misses in 5 1/3 innings tonight from Marsh. He picks up the win. He's now 8-8 on the season. 913-586-7965. I mentioned just how well the All-Stars have performed of late. You know, Waka, Reagans, Lugo, you know, since that Riptide started, those guys have been otherworldly. You know, Salvador Perez turning it on when it matters most. Salvi's hitting 324 here in September. Bobby Witt Jr., though, not putting up the eye-popping numbers we've seen for a majority of the season. Tonight he goes 1-for-5. He singled the lead off the seventh, and it was quickly erased on a ground ball double play off of the bat of Salvador Perez. But that leadoff single from Bobby Witt Jr. was his 196th base hit of the season. That's the most in Major League Baseball, and it's the 10th highest total in Royals franchise history. With 14 to play, it's already a top 10 season in Royals history as far as base hits are concerned. The Wit Watch is brought to you by Community America Credit Union. Visit communityamerica.com to join. Member owned, open to all, invested in you. Bobby's 1-for-4 night sees his batting average fall to a major league best 332. And his OPS still top five in baseball at 975. Royals take the opener in Pittsburgh, 8-3 the final score. We'll get back to your phone calls and head back inside that clubhouse after this.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Burns Postgame Show on your new home for Royals baseball in Kansas City. 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app.
To a pitch in high in the air, deep to right field, and that ball is gone. Adam Frazier returns to Pittsburgh with a bang. A solo shot in the top of the eighth inning. And in his first game at this ballpark as a visitor, he's got a familiar swing.
Yeah, that was cool to see. Adam Frazier, second baseman drafted by the Pittsburgh Pirates, scouted by the son of the Hall of Fame Pirates second baseman, Bill Mazeroski. He drafts the next Pirates All-Star second baseman and Adam Frazier for him to return to PNC Park for the first time, see his name in the lineup, and then deliver in the fashion in which he did, right? Putting the ball in play in his first at-bat, reaching on an error, scoring the second Royals run, and then driving in and scoring the Royals' eighth run with that two-out solo bomb in the eighth inning. He gets ahead in the count 2-0. He's sitting fastball, and he got 95 in the middle, and he was ready for it. 103 miles per hour off the bat, 402 feet. The fourth home run of the season for Adam Frazier, his 60th career home run. 24 of those 60 have come at PNC Park. After the game, after the 8-3 Royals victory, Adam Frazier received the Joel Goldberg on the field post-game interview treatment on Bally Sports, Kansas City, talking about not just that home run, but the outstanding tribute video the Pirates organization played for him prior to his first trip to the dish.
That was pretty cool. Thankful for that. Appreciate them doing that. They got to try to lie back in. That's all I was trying to do. But it felt good. Hit a homer right there. I tried to get it to the river. It didn't quite happen, but that's a big win for us.
Yeah, bottom line, an important win. Tell me about that big second inning. That's the guy on the other side that's been pitching very well, and things kind of snowballed fast. You're right in the middle of all of that.
Yeah, guys are making him work. He lost the command a little bit there for a minute, and guys just made him work and put some barrels on the ball. Sal with the big homer, Izzy with a homer. A lot of good swings tonight. So when you put pressure on a pitcher, good things happen.
I know this team stays locked in. This team doesn't need a whole lot of inspiration. So many veterans like yourself that have been through these battles. But was there any potential danger or challenge in today after an off day, going up against a team that's under 500 after 20 straight against playoff teams? Was that a challenge at all?
No, I don't think so. Guys are focused right now. It's one game at a time down the home stretch. We're still chasing Cleveland to try to take the division. We know these guys got a lot of good arms, so you can get embarrassed if you're not prepared. So the focus was there today, and I think it showed.
Last thing you were telling me before the game, the influence of guys like an Andrew McCutchen, like a David Fries, and so many others when you were that young kid. What's it like now to be that guy for so many others in the middle of the playoff race?
It's a lot of fun, especially when you're in a race. It's making sure everybody's on top of the little things. It's being prepared every day, staying focused, like we mentioned, and just coming out and playing a game, a focused game. You play clean baseball, then you got a chance to win every night.
First time he ever played as the visitor at PNC Park, he scores a pair of runs and runs into a solo bomb in the eighth inning. And again, tip of the cap to Matt Quatrero. That's, you know, unsurprising. I guess it doesn't take a genius, but we've seen plenty of managers that fell well short of genius. So tip of the cap to Matt Quatrero. Good feel, way to have Frazier in the game. And credit to Adam Frazier for capitalizing when seeing his name in the starting lineup. Frazier has 10 hits in his last 9 starts. Royals, 81-67 on the season. 81 wins for the first time since 2016. One more win, and it guarantees a winning season for the first time since 2015. Phone lines are open for you. The text line is there as well. 913-586-7965. That's 913-586-7965. Scott in Phoenix, shining a light on Alec Marsh, giving you 5 1/3 solid innings of work. Scott has his focus on the division, just like what we heard there from Adam Frazier. Royals, again, 3 games back of Cleveland, 2 games back of Baltimore, which would guarantee a home playoff game. They have a 5-game cushion protecting their playoff spot. Minnesota just lost, for any of those following the Twins. Twins are now 2 games back of the Royals. 913-586-7965. Dan and KCK shining a light on Kyle Isbell. Izzy, 2 for 4, drove in a pair. He, too, went deep. Izzy's 8th on the season. And, you know, it's good awareness. Again, it doesn't take a brilliant mind, but it does take feel. It does take paying attention to the game. Kyle Isbell, standing on deck, watches Yuli Gurriel. Now, this is the top of the 4th inning. Royals are already up 6-0. Yuli Gurriel, leading off, has a 12-pitch plate appearance. Ultimately goes down swinging through a slider. So after 12 pitches, you would imagine if you're Kyle Isbell, this guy on the hill's probably going to try to pick things up a little bit. Probably going to attempt to be a touch bit more efficient. Keep in mind, this pitcher also needed 47 pitches to get through the 2nd inning. You know, so at this point of the 4th, he's already at, he's coming up on 90 pitches. So Izzy stays ready. And you have to imagine I'm getting a get-me-over fastball. 93 in the middle, yes indeed. Izzy rips it over the right field wall, 389 feet, 102 miles per hour off the bat. That made it 7-0 Kansas City. They would go on to win 8-3, holding their opponents to 3 runs or fewer for the 75th time this season. Royals are 66-9. Can you believe that? 66-9 when they hold their opponents below 4 runs. That's impressive. Very impressive for a team that has the best record in the American League since the All-Star break, a team that is now on pace for 89 wins this season. Let's go back to the text line, 913-586-7965. From the 620, Vern coming off that Yankees series, that was downright fun tonight. Because sometimes after the schoolyard bully flattens you, you got to go home and kick your little brother's ass to prepare for the next bully. All right, I get it. I get it. I never had a little brother. I wasn't a little brother, but you know what? I guess I see that with my nephews. Yeah, yeah. When the oldest maybe has a rough day at school, he comes home and picks on the little brother. Okay, I get with that. I like that. I mean, I don't like it. Yeah, I understand it. Katie in North Carolina. I don't know, Vern. Maybe J.J. Piccolo knows what he's doing bringing in all these wily vets. Yeah, you pepper in some homegrown vets with the new vets. And that's another win tonight. Yeah, it was the vets of the Royals. Salvi and Izzy to go along with Pham, Gurriel, and Robbie Grossman. Yeah, those were the stars tonight. Not to mention, of course, Adam Frazier and his big return to Pittsburgh. Julie in Kansas City's curious about using an opener in the postseason. Well, you know what, Julie? I don't think that would be needed in the wild card series. I don't know if that would be needed in the ALDS either, a five-game series, but a seven-game series, yes, certainly. Yeah, you know, game four, again, just depending on how things line up, you know, maybe not the opener in the sense of you get one inning and then you're done, but something along the lines of Brady Singer, you know, we'll give you one time through the order. You know, give us three innings and then we'll hand it off to Michael Lorenzen for three innings or Alec Marsh for three innings. Yeah, Julie, I think that's something you could see come the ALCS or the World Series. How crazy is it that we're talking about that? It's cool. I'll tell you what, Kathy in Los Angeles, speaking of cool, it was cool seeing the Royals on MLB Network in some national love tonight. Yeah, that is cool. Royals, with their five-run victory tonight, pushed that run differential back into triple digits. Plus 100 on the season. That's sixth best in Major League Baseball. Well, we've talked about this all season. The best thing about this team is the next day's starting pitcher. Royals just walked into Pittsburgh and took a enthusiastic W home with them. And while they reach 81 wins, you look to tomorrow's game and you see Michael Wacha on the hill. You know, just when you think things can't get any better, one of the best pitchers in Major League Baseball for the past 3 months just so happens to be toeing the slab for you tomorrow afternoon, and the game's going to be here very soon. Michael Wacha and fellow right-hander Mitch Keller. They go at it coming up on Saturday afternoon. It's a 12:05 first pitch, and I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show beginning at 11 a.m. And remember, I have two tickets to every game of next weekend series against the Giants. The final three home games of the regular season. You can win them tomorrow on the On Deck Show, so be listening beginning at 11 a.m. Thanks to JT Noah for the help back at the studio. Thanks to you for listening. I'll talk to you tomorrow, Kansas City. Take care.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.